We got a lot of voices in this world calling us. You know, we got billboards, we got television, we got radio, we got people in our lives. And we need to spend time with the one who loves us, loved us unto the end, gave himself for us. We can be familiar with his voice and not listen to the voice of strangers. This morning my message is the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, so much that you are our Father. We have one Lord. There's one Father, and we just thank you that you're it, and that you've begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. Are kept by the power of God through faith and to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Lord, what a blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your word. What a blessing that we can have all these promises and these assurances that fills our heart with hope and expectation and trust and assurance. Thank you, Lord, you also left us your spirit, that we're not orphans. That you didn't leave us and go away, but you sent your spirit into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. And we just thank you so much for that. Pray you bless our time here together once again. Just help this message to be a blessing and edifying in Jesus' name. Yeah, so I was thinking about the Good Shepherd, and Jesus called himself that. So I want to look at what a shepherd is. A shepherd is someone who has a flock of sheep, and a shepherd's role is to guard that flock and to feed it and to guide it and to heal it. Look after its well-being. A shepherd is constantly with the sheep. That's what a shepherd is. He's constantly with the sheep, and because of that, he knows them, and they know him. It's this consistent togetherness that brings familiarity. And I was just, when I wrote that word down, I thought about it. Wow, I never really thought about the word familiarity. It's a little bit of a tongue twister for me. But just the thought of that word, and I looked at it and I said, okay, familiarity. That means like you know something, it's common to you. It's very familiar. Why is that? Why is that word used? Because when we spend, who do we spend the most time with? And that's our family. And so they know us and we know them inside out. Nobody knows us like our family, right? Because we spend time with them. The most time we spend is with anybody else is with our family. In the Old Testament, God portrays himself as a shepherd. I know we're familiar with the New Testament about Jesus saying, I'm the good shepherd, but it started with God, the Father. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, he says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. You know, it's amazing how people in the old, like they look at the Bible and these the scoffers and the mockers, you know. God, you know, the God of the Old Testament, he's just this mean God, you know. And here we have the prophet Isaiah is writing here. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. The God hasn't changed. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's the unchanging God. In Jeremiah 31:10, it says, hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. God alone is the one we need to look to for our salvation. He is God and there's no other. He made us for himself and he's jealous over us. He wants us to trust him and look to him alone, right? Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm." And then it says this very interesting phrase right after that, "whose heart departeth from the Lord." Wow, that's profound. You know why? Because it says, cursed is the man that trusts in man. So when you trust in man, what are you doing? You're not putting your trust in the Lord. You're putting your trust in something else. And when you put your trust in something else, it's called, help me out here, idolatry. It's trusting in something else. You're not, God isn't God anymore to you. You're trusting in something else. That's why it says, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. And then it's interesting, in the two more verses later, in 17:7, it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. There's a blessing and a curse. So the shepherd cares for the sheep. He looks after the sheep. He's with them. He knows them. And he also has some instruments. And one of them is a rod, and one of them is a staff. It talks about there in Psalm 23, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. I don't have a lot of experience with a rod and a staff. The kind of shepherding we we did was within a fence and in a little barn. We did have sheep. We've raised sheep for quite a few years on our property. And we learned a few things, at least I did, and my children enjoyed raising sheep. So I don't have a lot of experience myself, but I've been told that the staff is there to pull out sheep out of the flock, and if they're maybe hard to catch or whatever, you just kind of pull like this and pull them into you. And also to guide them maybe if they're going through a pathway or something like that. And then the rod could be a weapon to keep against maybe wolves or coyotes or whatever. And so the first job of the shepherd is to guard the sheep. I mean, it doesn't do any good if you're a shepherd and then all the sheep get killed. You don't have a job anymore, right? So it's really important. This is a really important role of a shepherd, is to guard the sheep. And because sheep are vulnerable. Sheep are not aggressive. They're not going to fight back. They're going to band together. I mean, there's many of them. Like, there's 50 sheep and there's one wolf, and well, they could just trounce that if they really wanted to. Actually, they could probably trounce that. They just gang up on him and just hit him with their hooves and butt in it. I mean, just they all got together, they probably could, but that's just not their nature. They're vulnerable. They can't protect themselves against wolves and dogs. They need a strong guardian who's vigilant, who's watching out for them, and can recognize threats. And in our pasture one day, I don't know if you remember this, I'm sure you do. No one can forget this, right? The dogs came in and into our sheep, our pasture. And they were ripping sheep apart. They killed, a couple of them, right? A couple goats. And so we ran into the house and got our pellet guns. I'm not sure why we used pellet guns instead of real guns, but that's all we had, I guess. I'm not sure. But we started to shoot at these dogs, and they left. And we were doing our job. And a shepherd also feeds the flock. He's responsible to bring them into pasture. He leads them beside still waters. If they need water, he brings them to the water. He knows that in order for his flock to grow, they need to be fed well. They need that good green grass. He wants plump, healthy sheep. He doesn't want weak, sickly, scrawny sheep. If the sheep are left in the same area, I don't know if you know about parasites, there's a cycle where parasites are ingested from the grass. The eggs are laid, and they're ingested, and and they go back inside, and then they make worms, and then those worms lay eggs, and they come out the feces, and then they're in the same area too long, then those worms just are getting the grass again, and they keep this cycle going on. In order to break that cycle, they need to be led to fresh pasture where their eggs haven't been for a while, because if they're not eaten, they die after a while. So that's rotational grazing. And so a good shepherd doesn't just leave his sheep in the same pasture, give them the same old stuff all the time. He feeds them. And a good shepherd, he leads his flock. He guides them. He doesn't drive them. The sheep don't respond well to being driven. None of us do. I mean, who wants to be like pushed from behind? We'd rather follow. Jesus gives us that, even that analogy with taking his yoke upon us so that we can actually walk with him. Sheep naturally follow. In order for them to be fed, they need to be willing to follow. Sheep go astray sometimes. They don't know what that. Sometimes the sheep don't know what the best thing is for them. They need to be guided. They might be afraid to go through a gate. There might be like something there that frightens them. They need to be led and guided. I talked about sheep being not aggressive. I mean, who would want to be maybe a dog instead of a sheep? Because, I mean, the dog has that power over the sheep, you know. He can tear them and he can eat them. And would you rather be a dog than a sheep? Well, the thing is, dogs die and so do sheep. But dogs are without, the Bible says. The dogs will never enter. But the sheep, they will enter the into the kingdom of heaven. And so I'd rather be a sheep. And even if they kill the body, Jesus said, don't be afraid of them. So better to be a sheep and to go to the slaughter, like our Lord, than to be a dog and to be cast out forever, to be never invited in. Dogs are without. So I have a story about a sheep that got out of our pasture one day. I'm not sure why she got out. Maybe she saw the pasture look greener on the other side. Or maybe there was a hole in the fence or somebody left the gate open. I'm not sure what happened. But this sheep got out and her baby. And we went looking for the sheep. And in our back area, there was a small stream. It wasn't our area, actually. It was the neighbor's yard. But we went looking. And so, well, unfortunately, we found the little lamb dead in the water. And so we kept going. We kept looking because the mother, we didn't find her yet. And when we did find her, it was in down the road, a couple houses down, the neighbor's pasture, I believe it was. And there she was. She was always kind of a skittish sheep, you know. We got her when she was an adult, I believe. And she was always kind of skittish. She didn't really, like, she was always kind of like the one that stayed in the background, you know. And so, you know, we tried to chase her. We tried to corral her, tried to catch her. And it just wasn't working. And then, I'm not sure, for some reason, I just decided to just go back home and maybe just get somebody else, or I can't remember exactly why I went back home, but all of a sudden, I was walking down the lane to go home, and here comes the sheep following me. And I was amazed. I was like, wow, here we are trying to chase the sheep, and all I had to do was just lead the way, and it would follow me, and it did. It followed probably about from here to the wall, maybe about 10 feet, 15 feet, and just kind of trotting along as I'm walking fast. And then as we get down the driveway, there's some dogs in the neighbor's yard, and they're all barking away. And they're in their fenced area, so they can't get out. But that scared the sheep, and guess what? It got closer. It got closer to me. And as we kept walking, and we walked and walked down the road, about a quarter mile, it kept following me. And then we walked right up our driveway. I had someone open the gate, and it ran right in. Sheep need a guide. And sheep sometimes need correction. You know, I've heard that when the sheep get to butting each other and being mean to each other, when the shepherd comes, then that all kind of stops. And last of all, the sheep need somebody to heal them, somebody to bind them up if they have wounds, to check on their well-being. We would oftentimes give them wormer because, you know, if they had worms, and then check their hooves. Sheep have a tendency to, in a bad environment, I guess, to have that rot in their hooves, and they have to be clean, kept clean. Their hooves need to be kept clean and trimmed. So we need to do that. And just in a spiritual analogy, you know, we've all come from somewhere, right? We've all entered into that fold of God. And if we've come from the world's pasture, then there's going to be some wounds that need to be bound up. And Jesus came to do that. Deep wounds sometimes that need healing, to be cleansed, salve applied, wrapped up. We know that the devil is not a good shepherd. He's like the thief that comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He drives his sheep mercilessly. And so he drives them hard. And then he gives them no hope. And in their exhaustion, they think jumping off the cliff is the best option. Because they want to escape their hell on earth. You've heard that before, right? So, in the New Testament, Jesus identifies himself as the Good Shepherd. He's compassionate and loving toward his sheep, even to the point of giving his life for the sheep. God promised a Savior from the line of David because he was a man after his own heart. David wrote Psalm 23. We're all familiar with that. In Ezekiel 34:23, God promises, this is after David, after David's dead and gone, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. And he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. To me, that is so clear that that's the Messiah. That's the one to come. Ezekiel 37:24 says, and David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. One shepherd, David. In John chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Hallelujah. He was saying he was the Messiah. I mean, that's very clear, isn't it? You see the connection there. Jesus, as the son of David, identified himself as the good shepherd. Matthew 9:36 says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Isn't that amazing? He's called the great shepherd of the sheep there. 1 Peter 2:25 says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And 1 Peter 5:4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He's the chief shepherd. There are shepherds. There's one shepherd over us. That's the Lord Jesus. He's the chief shepherd. And we know from 1 Peter that we are to be shepherds. And there are some shepherds to the flock of God, to the local church. But he is the chief shepherd. And I want to speak about the whole motivation for being a good shepherd from the Lord Jesus was love. Love is selfless. True love is doing what's best for other people. Love doesn't say, what can I get? It says, what can I give? That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. God's sheep know his voice. They distinguish it from the voice of others. They delight to hear his voice because they know there's some benefit from the shepherd to them. You know, when you go to the barn and the sheep are in the barn, and you come and they hear your voice, they come running because you usually have a treat, some feed. You're going to give something. You're going to do something for them. They're looking forward to it. Psalm 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will. Okay, I skipped ahead here. What is God speaking to us? So sheep delight to hear the voice of the shepherd because they know there's some benefit. And so what is God speaking to us? Do we respond and obey him? It's our obedience that also distinguishes us from true sheep from false sheep. Right? Because in Matthew 7, 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And then that verse that I shared, Psalm 40, verse 8, "I delight to do thy will, O God." I don't have to do thy will, O God. I delight. That's the new heart that Josiah was talking about. That it's not a have to. It's a I delight to. God has changed us from the inside out. And if you struggle and struggle always to do the will of God, oh, it's such a burden, then you need to examine yourself. You see whether you're in the faith. Because I delight to do thy will, O God, is the testimony of someone whose heart has been changed from a stony heart to a heart of flesh. When a shepherd calls his sheep, they move towards him, not away. They don't just stand there as stubborn sheep. "I heard you, but I'm not coming." That self-willed sheep will just stand and stare. But the sheep that know the shepherd has something good for them, they come at his call. You know, we can weep before God, we can be emotional, we can cry out to God, we can weep bitter tears or be ecstatic before God, we can roll on the ground and we can roll in the spirit or something like that that charismatics talk about. We can be slain in the spirit, we can have all these experiences, right? But if we don't move closer to God in obedience to him, we're still in the same place we've been. We don't receive any benefit. Like we haven't come to the shepherd, right? We think because we've had an ecstatic experience or we have a desire, but if we don't move closer, if nothing changes in our life, then we're still in the same place. We're not closer to the shepherd. Jesus said his sheep know his voice, and he also says that he knows our name. "I call them by name." So what comes to your mind when you think about a shepherd who doesn't know the name of his sheep or gives them a number? Like, "Hey, you're number 5 and this is number 7. There's not that, it doesn't really sound very intimate. Would you want to be one of his sheep? You're a number. Psalm 139 says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." He knows us inside and out. And Jesus said the very hairs of our head are numbered. That's a lot of tedious. He knows us. How long would it take to count somebody's hair? For God, he knows it. Jesus talked about a sheepfold. And in the sheepfold, there's protection. There's care there. There's protection from the wolves coming in at night. It's mostly at night. You don't need a sheepfold except for at night when thieves can sneak in and try to take things. It's always night, right? And so when the sheep come out of the sheepfold, then the shepherd has contact with them. He has communication with them. He's calling them. He's examining them to see, well, do they have like a big tick sticking on the side of their neck needs to be pulled off? Or, you know, do they have flies near their bottom, you know, that need to be cleaned off? And because there's some nasty things going on. I'm not going to get into that. But he's going to examine their hooves maybe or just kind of look them over. He knows his sheep. But if there was a stranger there, he'd probably think these sheep all look pretty much alike, you know, but this shepherd, he knows the sheep. You know, that's Daisy and that's Star and that's, you know, Duncan or that's Pumpkin or whatever their names are. My children love naming sheep. I mean, I didn't really know these sheep that well. My children would just point them all out. So after the sheep are led out of the sheepfold, they're led into a pasture. And the shepherd does that early in the morning because that's the best time. The best time to get out of the sheepfold is in the morning to get that fresh green grass that's wet with the dew of heaven. Because in some countries, that's the only time that they actually can drink something. And so they want to be munching on that super wet grass and just they don't even need a drink. They don't even need to be led to water. There is none. And so a faithful shepherd is going to not sleep in till 10 or 11 at night in the morning and then wake and then the sheep will be all thirsty and everything because they haven't had that dew-laden grass. But he's going to get up. He's going to care for the sheep. Early morning is the best time when there's no distraction. There's less flies and less mosquitoes and all that stuff. Distraction. So the shepherd is going to want to lead those sheep and feed them in the morning when there's no distraction. And let's take a look at that in our own lives. When there's no distraction early in the morning, the best time to seek the Lord. To get alone with God. Alone with thee, like our song, like we sang. Alone with thee. There's no other hope, other plea. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And this leading of God's Spirit implies that we are also following. If God is leading us, then we have to be willing to follow. Yes, Lord. You know, Jesus told a story about two men had two sons, right? And he said the one said, the father said to his two sons, go into my field. And the one said, I go, sir. But he never went. and the other said, I'm not going to go. But later on, he repented and changed his mind. So we need to be willing to follow and heed the master's voice, or heed our shepherd's voice. So Jesus said, a stranger they will not follow. A stranger's voice is identified by his leading into doubt or ungodliness. Right? Enjoy the forbidden fruit. Don't miss out on this sinful pleasure. Eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Get all that you can out of this life. It's this life that matters. It's all that matters. You know, we're standing in front of the bar and we're speaking to people about Jesus, and sometimes you'll have a good conversation with somebody. You're exhorting them about righteousness and temperance and the judgment to come, and they're trembling. They're under conviction. And then guess what happens? Their girlfriend or their boyfriend comes out and is putting their hand on their shoulder. Come on. And they're like, no, I'm talking to him. I'll be just a minute. And they like look at the person like pleading, like, come on in. You know, and a lot of times what happens is they wind up being physically drugged back into the bar. Psalm 1 says, blessed, how's that start off here? I'm getting a blank now. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And here they are being counseled to be by the ungodly. So a shepherd guides. He guides people. He heals them. And he provides protection. And just thinking about the analogy of the door. And Jesus said, I'm the door. And when you think about how they came out of Egypt and God instructed them to put blood over the doorposts and the lintel, on the sides of the doorposts and the lintel. And then if they went into that door, they were safe. And when they came out of that door, they went free from the bondage of Egypt. He led them out. So the voice of another, though, will lead us to idolatry, to loving something or someone else more than God with all of our being. Salvation is not a ticket that we stick in our back pocket and then we say we got it and we can't lose it until we got it. But it's entering into that relationship with God through Jesus Christ because of what he's done. And that relationship with God keeps getting more and more intimate because we spend time with the Good Shepherd. And it reminds me of the proverb. It says, Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. In John 10:14, Jesus speaks of mutual knowing. It's not like a one-sided relationship. You know, it's like that we know him, but he doesn't know us, or he knows us, but we don't know him. But it all has to do with that communication, how we know God. Oh, you've heard God speak? Like so many people ask, like, you mean you heard God talk to you? I say, oh, yes. You mean you heard him say something, like physically? No, not that way. Now, some have, but I have never. But yes, God speaks. So that getting the time to getting to know someone involves that time spent with them. Getting to really know someone means that you share in their hopes and their dreams. They share hopes and dreams with you. They share struggles and triumphs, that you really get to know a person. And that takes time and being with that person. You know, children, they like to share. They like to share their experiences. Like, for instance, if a little one gets hurt, they run to you and they say, I hurt myself. Or they say, when they come to you with a drawing, and they go, look what I made. They want to share. There's a sharing there of experience, of life. So I want to go, I'm almost done here. I want to go through John 10, if we can turn there. Starting verse 1. I'll just read this whole passage here. We'll go 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. What an amazing passage of Scripture where Jesus is just revealing to us who he is and how good he is. So we see that the love that Jesus has for his sheep is not like that of the hireling, because the hireling just does it out of self-interest for the money. He receives his wages, but you know, if that wolf kills him, I mean, what good is it? Money anyway, so I better just get out of here. He doesn't love the sheep. You know, when we look at the life of David, you know, David didn't let that lion, he didn't run away from the lion, he didn't run away from the bear, but he actually attacked them because they were attacking his sheep. He didn't think about his own life. What an amazing semblance there between the son of David, the first one, and then the Messiah, son of David, right? The second one. They were willing to give themselves. They went in the face of danger for the love of the sheep. That's why David was a man after God's own heart. And they shall be one shepherd and one fold. That's us. Other sheep. We could call ourselves other sheep. And Jesus is interested in bringing in those sheep into that one fold that he has. And they'll hear his voice, one shepherd, one fold. That's such a blessing. They don't follow a stranger's voice. They know that a stranger doesn't have their best in mind. And other sheep, here we have that... All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The ones that came before him, and I believe that can mean that all those that ever claimed to be a Messiah or claimed to be the Savior, they were, what does it say? Thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear them. In John 7, I believe it says, if any man will do his will, God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether I speak of God or whether I speak of myself. So those sheep that truly desire to do the will of God, they will be given an understanding that this shepherd is for them, that this is the good shepherd, that he is the Messiah to come. What a blessing to know that God is not leaving people in the dark that truly want to know him. But he is giving them revelation. He's giving them an understanding. And that's why they can hear God's voice and come towards the shepherd, the good shepherd who lays down his life for them. So it's also a blessing to know that God is calling people to himself. The Holy Spirit is calling. So I'm going to end with Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 through 10. When Jesus says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And we have a picture here in Revelation. But before I go there, there's also a picture that I didn't even write down here, but it's of the Lamb. And when John is having his vision in heaven where he says, and I saw a lamb as it had been slain. And so now we have this shepherd who has become a sheep for us. And lay down his life for us. And he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. And Revelation 5:9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So it's an amazing thing how this good shepherd became, he lowered himself to become the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The world. And he's become our Passover lamb. So, let's heed the voice of the shepherd. This is the call to action here. Because of these things, let's heed the voice of the good shepherd who laid down his life for us, who became as a lamb led to the slaughter. Let's spend time with him in the cool of the day, the first part, that undistracted time that we can have with God. And let's, when we do that, let's trust his direction for our lives and put our trust in him and not in man. Because cursed is the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm. His heart departeth from the Lord. But blessed is the man that puts his trust in God, in the Lord, in whose hope the Lord is. God bless you.